Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Australian Baby Boomer podcast. I'm hoping to have more people to interview in the near future, as I feel this is always more interesting than a single point of view. But with the current situation, pandemic-wise, this has not always been easy. So today's episode is a short story I have written for a new anthology that's being launched at the Catherine Susanna Pritchard Centre on Sunday, October the 24th at 2 p.m. You are most welcome to attend, to listen to some poems and stories read out, indulge in light refreshments, and to support us by purchasing one of our limited edition anthologies. This one celebrates the 25th anniversary of the Write Free Group and is aptly called Unlocked. My story is called Vegetative and is a little under 20 minutes long, so make yourself a nice cup of tea or coffee and put your feet up. Vegetative. Evelyn dreamt she was a tree living in a vast forest. Then she woke up, or registering that she was not shocked by her current situation, realised she must be awake again. The hospital ward, with its tubes and machines, had been replaced by a thinly decorated room. At the far end of her bed was a rectangle of light. As her eyes came into focus, she recognised it as a window that faced out onto a brick wall. From what she could make out, the place where she was now was quite old. The window was tall and narrow, of a style common in public buildings erected in the 1960s or earlier. If the window could be opened, one part would be able to slide up over the other. Her husband had told her it was called lap sash. The fact that all of this came to her so easily was pleasing. If she could work this out, she must be all right. She had been brought here to recover. Although the building was old, they had placed her in a pleasant enough space, a private room. A faint chemical odour clung to the air, as if the walls had just been painted. The scene faded to white, or to light. She must have fallen asleep. She woke again. People appeared. Hallucinations, she ascertained, from the way their faces distorted. She slept and woke. The spectres had disappeared and the room was empty. Sunlight poured through the window, almost touching the end of the bed. She noted the end of her bed was anodized metal. Her eyes fell closed. They opened. A man with a stethoscope patted her hand rapidly and hard. She assumed he was a doctor, or a nurse, perhaps. "Open your eyes and close your eyes if you understand me," he said, his voice insistent. "Blink, Evelyn. Open and close your eyes." She felt compelled to obey his command, but it was no use. He wouldn't wait long enough for her, and there seemed to be some sort of faulty connection. He spoke then, as if his mind was already made up. "She's most likely in a vegetative state. There's been significant damage." "But her eyes are open." "A cockroach can have its eyes open, but it doesn't mean it has consciousness." His tone was dismissive, as if he considered his companion to be stupid. "A cockroach?" The woman's voice registered disgust at his choice of word. "Wrong metaphor," said the doctor nurse. "Vegetative." "You're saying she's a vegetable," said the other, beyond her range of vision. "Well, it's not, but yes, if you like." "What sort?" Evelyn vaguely wondered. Oddly, the pronouncement had not disturbed her. She was amused more than anything else, and still felt the mistake would soon be discovered. But by the time this occurred to her, the doctor person had gone away. Sunlight and shadows played on the wall to the side, which was interesting for a while. She'd been fond of vegetables. People didn't seem to like the green ones or the idea of them. Children found them distasteful. Because there was nothing else to occupy her, she played with the idea of her vegetable identity. Broccoli or cabbage? The thing with the long things. From the way it was said, something green, she supposed. She suspected her kind of vegetable lacked the warmth of a pumpkin, or even the stolid comfort of a potato. Then it occurred to her, maybe a cockroach is conscious. Who's to say? How would anyone know? And why would they bother to find out? Her eyes closed, and she slept again. When she awoke, they talked above her as they worked on her body, cleaning and changing it. They talked of their weekends, their problems, their lives. This was getting serious. A tear formed in the corner of her eye and dribbled down her cheek. One of the women noticed. She bent over Evelyn's face and wiped the tear away with her finger. Do you think she's... A pause. Evelyn suspected a gesture passed between this woman and the other who was working on her. Her chest grew tight with hope. She thought she might produce sound if her vocal cords were intact, but producing it in a way that had meaning, or even to create meaning by producing it in a timely fashion, proved elusive. No, it's just the body. Those eyes are a bit red. We'll get some drops charted. She slept. She woke. Scenes repeated. Cleaning, grooming, changing, talking around her. Connections, fragments of recent memory began to form. The new memories were of little help. They were of a life narrowed in on the body, the bed and the room in which she lay, the window, the brick wall outside. Workers came and went, the familiar and the strange. Some were kind and some cruel. Most were indifferent, with an indifference born of what must have felt like mind-numbing routine and her own lack of response. The indifference was the hardest. It disappeared her. The tears flowed freely now. The body cried. Nobody took any notice. The eye drops were ceased. Hope evaporated. The tears dried up. So, this is it, she thought. This was her future. Here she was, in a sort of life where she had been for she didn't know how long. She'd given up trying to work it out. It seemed time had no use for her anymore. From the way her body had begun to stiffen and distort, she guessed she had probably been here for at least months, or in any case longer than she'd thought. Frozen. Shut in. A frozen shut-in. It was called something else, but she couldn't think what. She wondered where her husband was and why he hadn't taken her home. She wondered if he'd been here at all, ever. Had he simply left her here, forgotten her? Surely, if he'd visited, she would have remembered something so important. The only explanation was he hadn't come. It was a shock to realise that this must be the case, to appreciate the true character of the man whose life she'd shared for so many years. It was a shock to finally understand she was on her own, and had always been. Was this the best it would be, now and for however long there was left? Would she only regress, unable to move at all, even to blink on command, or to do anything other than to sleep, to dream, to feel, to think? She'd heard of this. Locked-in syndrome, that was it. Sometimes they'd emerged from their chrysalis state. She seemed to recall someone had been interviewed and reached public attention. But how many hadn't? How many had been kept trapped? She must stop doing this, thinking. Painful thoughts only added to her discomfort. Discomfort now being central to her life. Her body hurt, especially when it was moved, and it ached all the time. She wondered what she had done so terribly wrong to be made to suffer like this. Along with the constant pain, all pleasure had been taken away from her, pleasure of the body, the intellect, even the pleasure of eating and drinking. At first, the workers pumped liquid food and medication into the tube that had been fed down her nose into her stomach. She hated it and wished she could pull it out. One day, the tube was removed and replaced with another that took a more direct route through her side. Periodically, this side tube must have become infected because it created another focus of pain. When the infection was noticed, she was fed drugs, and that pain fell away to be replaced with the drifting and the fuzz of fuzzy thinking. In her half state of drift, neither asleep nor awake, an idea had started to grow in Evelyn's mind. Vegetative, he'd called her, who came and went infrequently now. She decided if she was vegetative, she would embrace her new identity. She'd fought it long enough. If there was no way back, she'd find another way out. The idea took hold. She had become increasingly aware of a buzzing sound that she couldn't quite locate. She'd never paid much attention to it before, always suspecting it was something electrical, like static, or an electric wire outside in the wet. But the more she thought about it, the more that explanation didn't make sense. As she slept, she dreamt plants were talking to her. She woke with the idea still in her head. Instead of fading, as most dream-inspired ideas do, this one became increasingly amplified. It was as if it were a message that had needed a quiet mind for it to be planted, and now it was ready to go. This is how she felt, and how she became convinced she was being called by vegetation. It was possible she was evolving. No, she was sure of it. About this time, she realized she had begun to grow roots. They kept growing downwards, through the middle of the next room or the rooms below, through the floors, and far into the earth itself. She was generating her own lifeline. She was making an escape route. Once they were strong and established, she would creep down her root lifeline until she came up on the other side in a forest. She would grow up into a tree in that forest, finally able to taste the earth, the air, and the rain. She felt that if only she could get there, nature would heal her. She waited for release, but still the room clung to her and held her fast in the body prison. If this continued, she knew, it was bound to send her mad. It couldn't continue. Her plan had seemed so logical and easy. She wondered what was stopping it from working. As the light played out on the brick wall of the building outside the window, she thought of the forest. When she was positioned in a certain way and could glimpse the sky, clear or with cloud, sometimes with rain, and with the occasional gift of a bird passing by in the gap between the two buildings, she thought of the forest. She focused on sounds of footsteps and people calling out, sounds of suffering and snatches of conversations coming from the corridor and further down. She dreamt of escape. Eventually, her mind began to settle, and she realized she must still have things to learn. Perhaps this was why the forest had rejected her. In her mind, a mantra repeated, "Quieten the mind, want for nothing." In another lifetime, eons ago, one where she'd had a good professional job and a nice-looking husband, she'd been so very busy running around. She'd feared boredom, and she'd feared having time to think. She'd hustled and harried herself and everyone around her. She'd supervised. She'd never been one for standing still in a forest and couldn't understand those who did. She would have feared it. When one steps into the forest, there is no knowing what might be encountered. Perhaps this was why she had been set the challenge of embracing it. Perhaps this was why whatever had happened to her had happened. she must have had things to learn. To ready herself, she found herself focusing intently on the smallest things. The fly that somehow got in and landed on her quilt. She watched as it groomed itself with the appropriate set of legs, its head and its wings. Its tiny head bobbed about. When her body breathed, it lifted off and she tracked it as far as she could before her eyes fell shut again. On the day the corner of the poster came loose, she willed it to fall to the floor. When it did, she felt an odd satisfaction. She was learning to simply be, and was becoming, she was sure, worthy for her new existence. No more wanting. She had only to learn to live completely in the moment. She had only to take joy in the smallest of things and to appreciate the largest. For her, that major event of the day was the relief of having been washed and repositioned on cool, clean sheets. She stopped wondering what had happened to her to put her there. Nobody had bothered to tell her, she being a vegetable, and she guessed that only strange people spoke to vegetables. Some sort of accident, perhaps. It no longer mattered. Finally, she must have been ready, because one day something changed. A woman came to visit, to read to her, to play music to her, to brush her hair and paint her nails, to talk to her as if she understood. It was a test of her resolve. By now she had learned to control the opening and closing of her eyes at will and to produce sounds in a timely manner. The workers had come to assume that there was something there, something residual, and she could communicate a little, but it was of little practical relevance. The woman who had come to take an interest in her wanted to test it further, to see if there was more than had been revealed. She wanted to help. Blink once for yes, twice for no, Evelyn. In another era, the tears would have started up again. But she had evolved, and she no longer needed the world of the human. You can't bring me back. Let me go, Evelyn thought. She stared vacantly past the woman's ear. From the shadows on the wall outside her window, she assumed it must be getting late. The woman seemed to understand. She looked into Evelyn's face, her own filled with compassion. You poor old thing, she said. How long have you been here now? The familiar face of the doctor and nurse came into view. Evelyn noticed how he had aged. He looked tired. Around 16 years. The family doesn't visit? No, and we can't contact them. Long enough, don't you think? The doctor and nurse seemed resigned. He nodded and bent over her. Evelyn felt herself sinking, flowing, her life force travelling down the route she had long ago tapped through the bed, the floors of this old building, into the ground and far along the earth. Her world went dark. When her senses opened again, she found she was a tree, with her leaves moving freely in the breeze. A magpie landed on one of her branches and sang to her. The sun shone down. And if she'd had a heart, it would have rung with happiness. She was home at last, standing strong in her beautiful forest.